Blog Talk Radio. This is the voice of Mocha 868, and you're listening to The Living Room, brought to you by El Nostro Reino Radio. Welcome to our kingdom.
Hello, hello, everybody, and we are back with The Living Room, and I'm glad that everybody is here today. Really exciting. And got a lot of great poetry. Today we have a special treat, friends and friendship. I just want to say that this is actually a pretty hard time of the year for me. And it is a time of an anniversary, should I say, of a great loss in my life. It's so important to have people around me that can help me just be better at this. Remember that life is worth living, and that there are people that actually care about me out there, which I find a very important important thing into what I need in my life. friendship is such a powerful thing that we need to hold on to it. Some of us don't have families anymore, which is a sad state of affairs, but it's truth. It's very much the truth, and that's one thing that I don't have the luxury of having anymore. Don't have my father, don't have my mother. Pretty much the rest of my family ran out on me. I have a daughter that has passed away and a brother that has passed away. And, you know, it's like, how much more can we have in life but friends? Where do we go, you know, from what we say? You know, friendship is a key to everything. It's a key to sometimes breathing the next day. It just brings us up and brings us to a new beginning, a new time, a new life. It helps us take steps forward. You know, even the little friendships we make that we know will never last. And, you know, it's like if you have a friend that you're going to, you know, have for the rest of your life, you're blessed. You know, the people who take their spouse as their greatest asset as a friend is, you know, beyond fortunate, beyond blessed. You know, that's something that they can anchor themselves in and just hold on to it for as long as they can, for as long as they're, you know, moving forward in their life. It's just an important part of who they are, what they are. And I think that it's a great thing to have, you know. And you know, bless them for having it. You know, they found something that's probably one of the greatest treasures in the world. You know, I've been a treasure hunter for years now, finding little bits of things, you know, finding the best of what might be just something bland, something normal in life. But finding a friend who is going to touch your life and change your life for the better is finding one of the greatest treasures of all. You know, it's like, I'm going to put her on the spot, even though she's not here yet, hoping to get her here. Mocha, you know, she's changed my life for the better. You know, turned around and done some amazing things to make me pretty much self-reflect on everything that is around me and who I am and what I've done and what I'm doing and how I think. You know, when you find a person like that that can, you know, make you self-reflect on who you are, make you turn around and realize what's been going on in your life and how you're thinking and how you pretty much treat other people and how you treat yourself. You know, it's stepping into something new, stepping into something wonderful. So I think that it's an awesome way to look at it, and it's great. All right, she will be here shortly too. So, and here we go. I'm going to start off the show like I've been starting off just about every show. Here's a little something from Steven, 76, And this is called Mr. and Mrs. Bates. Kind of like this. I'm taking a look. Written off the characters of John and Anna Bates from the BBC show Downton Abbey. And it has some terminology from the show itself. So here we go.
This write is about two fictional characters from a show called Downton Abbey that Kay and I watch. They shared a wonderful friendship that did blossom into love through a lot of adversity through the seasons of the show. And I call this simply Mr. and Mrs. Bates by Stephen 76. Of trauma tied away in stained muslin bags, keeping extolled a butler stick away, feeling north of the park. Forced bland bechamel sloshing in crux, soiled standoffish straits, Damascene conversion saves while boiling blood butchers. Holding cell honeymoons, harboring clean-handed cohabitants. Corners hide ears, separate rooms ramify. A useless shield riddled with voids as barms bring burrows. Sideways glances give away guilt, so budges to buses behead. End poem.
Oh, this is wonderful and clever, and you can tell it's tied within the context of the show itself, but ultimately it's kind of what I was talking about in the concept of finding someone that is your friend that you can also call as your partner, as your life person. I really love the way this is written because it's interweaving the plot of the story, the friendship, and the love that they shared. Because when you can share a friendship and let it blossom into love, I think that is one of the most beautiful things that you can grab a hold of. I really love that concept and the overall feeling to it. I think it's absolutely fantastic the way he puts it. Always love Stephen's writings. He has become such he's grown. He's grown to who he is now. And I want to wish him a happy birthday. He celebrated a birthday this month. And it is great that he has found his friend for life in Kay, his wonderful bride, and that they share a friendship that they have. They're a success story. They are a true success story, and I think that it's a wonderful message and a wonderful just a wonderful overall kind of almost I can't say fairy tale because they've gone through their trials. They've gone through what they need to do in order to make themselves stronger. And I think that is an important aspect about friendship, about companionship, about all of those feelings, as well as you got to look at what you go through. Can you still be there for someone when things have gone absolutely awful, when things have gone south? Can you be there for that person when those things happen? And I think that that is a great message to hold on to, is if you guys can weather the storms and weather the storms together, and even if you're kind of tearing at each other at times, if overall you come out ahead and you come out together, walking together and getting over those humps and getting through that weather and facing the blizzards, facing the hurricanes, facing whatever weather the world throws at you, you become stronger as friends. You become stronger in those positions. You become stronger in those relationships. And it's just something that will advance and grow, and you already have that wonderful foundation that can survive that type of weather, survive those types of natural disasters. And all you have to do is build around it, and you become stronger and stronger and stronger. You support that foundation. You support that building. You support that structure which you create, and it becomes something that it's inconceivable to certain people. It's inconceivable to those that really have never seen it before. And I wish everybody could grab a hold of something like that. Hello, Gonzo. He is at work, which is awesome, listening in. And he is someone that has grown too, and I really appreciate everything that he brings forth, and we'll hear an amazing audio from him as well. Right now, I'm going to continue on with the poetry, and I'm going to read a poem from our friend from Portugal, Nuno. Nuno is an amazing poet, and I really enjoy what he puts out. And it, on All Poetry, it's Nuno F2 Ferreira. That's Nuno F2 Ferreira. And he is from Portugal, and I don't just love his words, I love his perspective, because every place that someone is, they have a different type of perspective. And I think that that is an important thing to grab a hold of, is the perspective of where people come from. And this is called Friendship. Friendship by Nuno. Friendship is like a blue chest filled with kindness and gold, no selfishness or reward wanted, just open hands and hearts. A light in the dark blue overcoming gray, one voice echoing in the silence, cherry in a world of lemons. We don't ask, yet it comes, like spring in a blizzard, balm to cool flames, the most precious in the world. Poem. The one thing I love about this, there's a couple things that I'm going to really elaborate on in this poem. First of all, the use of the color blue. I love the color blue. People say, oh, blue, you're feeling down. It's an awful color. No, blue is the color of the sky. Blue is the color of the sea. Blue is the color of lapis and sodalite and sapphires. It's a beautiful, beautiful, rich color that just, in my mind, brings out the natural treasures in the world. Excuse me. And I love that blue overcoming gray. When I think of gray, I think of a cloudy sky. I think of something that is looming over you and just preventing you from
seeing. And I love the way that this is put together. And once again, I look at this. We don't ask, yet it comes like spring in a blizzard. There's that foundation again, overcoming that natural disaster. Like I said, the blizzard, balm to cool flames. When you find a good friend, they're able to grab a hold, take. I work in a plastic molding factory, and sometimes when you touch something wrong, it can burn you. It can absolutely tear up your skin, and it is something that that when you find that friend that can calm that down, that can take the burns and take the heat and cool it off. I think that that right there is a gift in itself as well. There's so much that you can look at in that I think it's just absolutely brilliant. I love the way that is put together. Just beautiful. Just beautiful. The overall concept of what Nuno put out, I think, is just beautiful. Stunning, stunning, stunning. Not only using the words of friendship, but also bringing in the overall vision of friendship. No selfishness or reward wanted. Just open hands and a heart. I wish more people could have this. I wish more people could grasp this. Just having an open hand and a open heart for your fellow man. Reminds me of the song by Queen, Under Pressure. Queen and David Bowie talks about love. I want to quote it because I don't want to just say what is off the top of my head, but because love's such an old-fashioned word, love dares you to care for the people on the edge of the night. Love dares you to change our way of caring about ourselves. If we can turn around and just meet this world with open hearts and open hands, and learn to love the people on the edge of the night, people that see the darkness, people that are walking a tightrope ready to fall off, if we can learn how to grasp a hold of those people, I think that it would be an absolutely beautiful world, much better than what we're living here today. And I think that's such a beautiful concept. Thank you, Nuno, for bringing that. I truly, truly appreciate that. I want to save that one. I'm going, Mocha will be here any second. So what I'm going to do, oh, this is gorgeous. Oh, I love the picture. But I'm going to read a little Poeta de Cab. One of our friends from Australia, Stanley, is an incredible poet that just brings it every time. His gift of rhyme is beyond anything you could think of, and his humor that he ties in with an actual sense of life and a sense of reality is great. This is called Skinny, and it was actually written 14 years ago. Skinny. He is 6 foot tall and about 7 stone. Not much of him, just skin and bone. Most people think that he is anorexic, but he was always this way. He is not sick. Poor bugger is as skinny as you can get. Has to run around in the shower to get wet. Many people laugh at him and even scoff. Looks like a match with the wood shaved off. Once he went to a party and just by chance, a girl thought he was a pole and did a pole dance. Why is he so skinny? I'm not too sure. Always eats his meals and comes back for more. Ugly he is too. Let me tell you, brother, when he was born, the doctor slapped his mother. At the age of 6 or 7, things appeared real grim. Tied a bone around his neck so a dog would play with him. As a mate, he is great. He is a real chum, even if he has a face like a monkey's bum. I must tell you, though, before my poem does end, as long as we live, Skinny will be my best friend. Oh, that cheeky little bugger. Oh, my gosh. Stanley Poeta de Cabra. This is, you know, he put some amazing tongue-in-cheek, funny little aspects within his poetry, and I think that it is absolutely brilliant. Once again, the King, he's fantastic at his rhyming, but to take this, and even if he's just ribbing at a friend, you know, that's what friends do. But in the end, you read that what it is, you know, even for all the flaws a person may have, you still accept them for who they are. That's what friendship is about. That is a incredible aspect of what friendship is. As made, he is great. He is a real chum, even if his face looks... Even if he has a face like a monkey's bum, I must tell you, though, before my poem does end, as long as we live, Skinny will be my best friend. Isn't that awesome? We could take a person that people look at and outcast, and when we take them into our lives, they become such a incredible blessing, such a mark within our lives, such a way that someone grabs a hold of us and we see beauty in them, even though the world may see something that is ugly, something that is lesser to them. It's a sad state of affairs how the world stereotypes people based off of looks. They stereotype people based off of certain actions, certain moments in people's lives. They're labeled. We live in a society of labeling. We live in a society where this world takes a person, they examine the person, and then they place the person in a group. They give them a name. They put a sign on their neck and say, this is who this person is, without even getting to know the person, without even getting to see the positive things in life. I don't know why we live in a society that wants to always look at negative this and negative that. And, you know, we don't accept people as they are, which is a sad state of affairs. But I can look at people and go beyond that, you know. Some people are really, you know, some people look beautiful, yet they may be the worst person in the world. Their hearts don't display the beauty that is on the outside. And then some people are the most beautiful people inside, beautiful people in their souls and within who they are. And yet the world sees them as homely, as ugly, as something to be ignored, something to be discredited. And that is the sad part of society, but it's the great part of friendship. Reach out. I'm going to tell people right now in this little group, in this little setting, in this little everything that we got, reach out to people. Let them know you care. Let them know what you are, who you are about, and let them see the you in you. I think that ultimately, when we do this, we can find a treasure. Like I said, it all boils down to a moment of treasure hunting, a moment of taking time out and finding that precious stone within something that you would have never thought could house something so incredible. Look at it like an oyster. I mean, every single part of the oyster is pretty much ugly. I mean, it's got the outer shell, which is crumply and sharp and just kind of ugly in a part, and then the muscle on the inside, not the prettiest looking thing in the world. And then you get the pearl, the beauty within, that thing that is the treasure. That is the way I look at some people. They can be what they want outside, and they can be what we see on the outside, but ultimately, when you grab a hold of them and you look on what's the inside, you can see the pearl. You can see that they're a great treasure. You can see who they are, what they bring to the table. And, you know, even though this poem is cheeky and fun, has funny spots, its message is beautiful. Its message is perfect. Its message is the definition of friendship. You know, even though someone might not look beautiful on the outside, doesn't mean that they are not beautiful. Every person in their own way is a gift. And every person is uniquely themselves and should be accepted for who they are. I love the way that that message is presented and the way that Poeta grabbed a hold of that. What I am going to do right now is I got to grab a hold of my cough that has been bothering me a little bit. So I'm going to take a little bit of a intermission, and I'm going to play a little music from Scientific, our audio guru, who has done some amazing stuff for our channel. And this is one of his original pieces, and I will be back after I settle my throat a little bit. All right, let's come back to the show. And like I said, I was just clearing my throat a little bit. And but let us welcome in Mocha. Hello, Mocha.
Hi, JCA. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Throat's been a little scratchy, but I am getting back into it, and got me a cup of water each time I feel like coughing now. I've been really getting into this show. Now we've had some amazing poems already, and we'll be featuring our next one. And I think this is the first time you've gotten to hear Marius. So
I think so.
So this is a little poem called "I Am Your Friend" by Marius Alexandru.
When life's waves of anger hit, when you're surrounded by mad mock, please be patient and don't quit. I'll be there for you, your rock. When you have no friends through storms, when you think that is your fate, I will hold you in my arms. I will help you navigate. When you want to cry and scream, if you reach the end of the rope, I will be your living dream. I'll be there, giving you hope. When the lightning strikes at once, and fear shudders you with rage, when the devils at night haunts, I will be your shield and fate. when the drought is too severe and you dry in heat and pain, I'll be there following you near. I will always be your rain. When your life seems like a ruin and you think there is no love, trust me, I know what I'm doing. I'm watching over you from above. So go on, a few more steps. Life is good and I'm your friend. Trusting, follow in my footsteps. Victorious, you reach the end.
Like a bridge over troubled waters, I will lay me down. Oh my gosh, I love this. I love this. This is such an amazing message and just perfect background there. But the overall, his rhyme scheme was perfect. I love how Marius writes. He lives in the States, but he is originally not from the States. He came in from Romania, and he married
his wife. That explains the accent.
And they're absolutely, he adores his wife. His wife is his best friend. And I love his poetry because his poetry is so positive. And it points towards love and it points towards friendship, and overall it's just an amazing thing that he brings forward. What do you think, Mocha?
I do think it was a really, really lovely poem, and somewhere between the instrumental and his rhyme scheme and the way he read it, so soothed listening to it while it went on. I just found myself sort of like sighing and, you know, falling into this sort of warm, comforting, fuzzy feeling that is being emitted by this poem. And the words are comforting as well, you know? It's this idea that friends are always going to be there to catch you when you fall. And, you know, you can sort of relax. You know, you're always going to have that support system there. There's always going to be somebody you can count on. It really brings forth this very safe and comforting feeling. And I really, really enjoyed this poem. I think this poem, definitely the feeling that I get, should be the feeling that people get when they are in a secure and happy and true friendship, you know, that feeling of not having to ever worry about anything, or worrying about whether this person is loyal to you or cares about you. You know, there's no worrying about that right now. Relationship, you know, you're sure that this person has your back. I love that.
I do too. You're so right about his soothing voice. There is something about the way he reads poetry that just does create that sigh moment. You're right, and the whole message is just spot on, amazing.
Yeah, perfectly in theme with today, and precisely what I wanted to bring out for today.
All right. Well, since you're here, I'm going to play mine. I just kind of recorded it right before the show, so. Kind of excited about this. This is called Learning to Steal from Seas to Skies to Eyes. Here we go.
Here, make it.
learning to steal from seas to sky to eyes by JCA. A violet lullaby slipped in the cappuccino butterfly ears of the Amber Island girl. Swelling whitecaps clap the coral beaches, calling the warriors from a cobalt Atlantis and the emerald jungle shrine. You twist in the smoky round room corner, whimpering how the bamboo Aztec spears and the titanium Atlantean tridents pierced you into the saline-soaked pincushion. I tremble in the gunmetal clouds that swell in the amethyst tornado bruises, skinning my olive leatherback knees, pleading to speechless thunderstorm skies. Pierce my side to pristine the caramel garnet. Feed me the golden lightning cracks and the midnight hemlock verbs. Jubilee is the scarlet carnage stolen from your coffee eyes, offered on my fuchsia hemorrhaged lips. Porcelain lightning rod, kissing cloud spark shot, push that steals the blue bust crush. I will learn to be the Florentine pirate, steal your pain.
Wow, that was an interesting one, Jace. This one, kind of, dare I say, a bit novel for you, but also not. Like, it's well within your style, but something about it is new. Like, the topic should be friendship, and I do sort of see some correlation of that, but I see down in the author's notes that originally it was for, the topic is shame / mental pain. And I'm getting that for sure. I'm getting that, being that loud and clear. I mean, the audio, the little radio distortions you put at the beginning, at the end, they definitely serve their purpose in being a little bit unnerving, or just like a little bit disconcerting. Like, it's the sound of the frequency changing on the radio like that, it makes you uncomfortable. That static is literally the sound of it makes you uncomfortable. So those two beginning notes put me in this sort of weird mental space of like, oh, we're not going to be like, you know, this isn't going to be like smooth mental or emotional sailing. Right? And that little record scratch, I don't know what it is. It's that sound of like an old time on like a TV show. But that little sound that kept popping up as you because I feel like we're in the TV, like surrounded by a sea of stuck and white static. And like that's where you're talking, or that's where I'm hearing poem from, is from this sea of static. And I don't know, it's such a strange feeling to be put in that position. But definitely the physical health part of it I got, but the friendship, I think you may have to expound upon that a little bit in this poem for me.
Sure, not a problem. Ultimately, it is, I purposely put that sound in there because, you know, where we meet friends is we meet them in certain places. We meet them in those places that are unnerving. And ultimately, when I started really looking at the bottom, I think you notice there is you and I used, and there's a hurt part of it. But then when I start speaking of myself, I start speaking of myself in a person who is pleading to take those thunderstorms, to pierce my side, to make you a better person. You know, ultimately, I think it all sums up in the bottom is steal your pain. You know, if you're really in as a friend, you know, you would want to take the carnage away from them, take the lightning when it strikes, take the, you know, push them out of the way of the oncoming bus, and kind of be your best to take the pain from them. And, you know, it's kind of like a picture of two poems melted together. The first three stanzas are kind of describing the pain, and then the last ones are the point of wanting to take all that pain away, wanting to actually get in there and, you know, being that person who is willing to step up and take a bullet for someone else. The ultimate display of friendship, the ultimate display of love.
I get you now. This is a wonderfully complex, nuanced poem. And I love, I think you did an amazing job, Jay. It's definitely two topics I think people don't often write about. And I think when they do write about it, they definitely don't do it in this way. So I think tackling it in the direction that you did and then making it work, I think that was an amazing job.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Like I said, I'll be putting a book out. I think this one may be part of that book that I'm working on right now. So everybody look for a book in the future. I will I'll pimp it out when it comes out. So that's a definite. All right. I think I'm going to put on Nine of Hearts next, and this was for one of your
awesome.
Poems. This was for one of your contests, the Nomad Queen.
Oh.
The Nomad Queen, my Nine of Hearts, lady of mine, thy mongrel charm, beckon snows with thy doleful eye, beckon snows, summon rats of north, neath the bastion moon, let them be our cloak. Your eyes, black, are hugin and moonin, perpetual night, trapped in you, looming, perpetual night in its bonfire core, a beacon that bade us, led us to shore. As they howl round here, the winds and the wolves, enshrouded by fur you prowl, a white fox, enshrouded by fur, with eyes that saccade, light on your feet and ever on guard. You never demanded our fealty, you earned it. Like cascades on river, you're riveting, earnest. Like cascades on river that shatter the moonlight, decrypting a cipher of monolith fluorite. The kingdom was never a place, as you told us. There's kingdom for us, a kingdom of nomads. There's kingdom for us, the mountains, the people. Our avalanche rolls in the summits or steeples. The home of my kin is with our frost-marrowed queen, mustered by bravery but governed by peace. Mustered by bravery were chaos, a dormant, a haven for rovers and unyielding warriors.
This is quite the piece again. You know, Nine knocks it out of the park every time. What I want to mention, though, is when we look at ourselves, I look at that first line, lady of mine, my mongrel charm. You know, we always look at ourselves in a way that we beat ourselves up. Yet when we can grab a hold of friendship, the person who's our friend sees us as something different than we see ourselves. They see us as something kind of in a way that is a light, that is beautiful, that is wonderful, that breaks that mold that we see in ourselves. And sometimes it picks us up in certain ways, and there's a companionship and an acceptance within those moments. And I think that is a beautiful thing in friendship, and a beautiful thing when we talk about, you know, building time together, building moments together, building companionship together. And I think that right there is a fantastic piece in itself. What do you think about that, Mocha?
You know, I always love hearing Nine read. Another one with a beautiful singing voice that adds so well to this grungy texture of, like, how he writes as well. It's just really, really beautiful hearing him read his own poetry. It adds its signature charm to it. The poem itself, well, as you can tell, I gave it a gold medal. So I really liked it. It was for our opening contest, our grand opening of this group.
Yeah, so we gave it together. We gave that together.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
So I think definitely it's one of we probably couldn't have picked maybe a better poem to talk about friendship, especially within our group and, you know, the friends that we make. I definitely my favorite parts where friendship is concerned are the last two stanzas that he says, a kingdom was never a place, as you told us. There's a kingdom for us, a kingdom of nomads. There's a kingdom for us, the mountains, the people where avalanche rolls and the summits are steepled, the home of my kin with our frost-marrowed queen, mustered by bravery but governed by peace. That sounds like our motto right there, or like our watchword, mustered by bravery but governed by peace. I think that sums it up beautifully. Like, this poem was a wonderful sort of storytelling of this group and the kind of people that end up joining this group. You know, they're all unique. They're all sort of wanderers. They're all sort of lone wolves, but somehow we come together and we make our own pack of adorable, loving weirdos, and, you know, we're a family here. We're a little bit more than friends, you know, we consider this kingdom to be sort of a family, and gosh, I love this poem for so many reasons, but that feeling today is definitely what I'm ruminating on, that feeling of providing a place for others to belong, which, as you know, Jay, is our whole thing here. It's our whole reason for creating this group, was providing a place for people to be able to come and express themselves and be who they are freely. That's the friendship that we want to provide to all of you. And this poem told a wonderful story that perfectly mirrors that, and that's why Nine ended up winning gold for this. That, and he did two of our favorite things. He included some mythology in there with the mention of Hugin and Munin, and I don't think that he knew this at the point in time, but like Odin was it's like a huge reference that I make because I was born on a Wednesday. And today he talked about crystals. He included a crystal in there, so, you know, we had to give him points.
He nailed was it fluorite? Yeah.
Fluorite.
Yes. And I love fluorite. Fluorite comes in so many different colors. There's green, there's blue, there's purple, and then there's something called rainbow fluorite that has the mixture of the colors in there. It's a white, green, and blue fluorite mixed together. And it is one of the most beautiful stones that I've ever seen in my life. And to bring something like that in there, it shows that, you know, it doesn't matter the color, it doesn't matter what it is about. It's just, we have built the kingdom off of love, respect, and acceptance of who we are and who each other is. And I love that concept. You know, we've been heard in so many different countries now. I'm going to actually bring out the country list, because let me see, it's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18 different countries around the world.
Yes,
with our latest one being Greece. How about that? We've actually been hurting.
That's crazy.
China. I know.
That is amazing. It is
awesome. All right. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and read the next poem. And this is a little brevity from Titus. And he did not have a SoundCloud with it, but he asked for a reader. And I kind of like the way that this is put together. This is called In Everlasting Friendship. You and I, walking stick, dwindle no end of friendship. we maintain the closest bond and readiness to take each step in life. If God so chooses where we will be put, his wastebasket up there, we shall embrace no end, firmly in his mercy, so long as we remain as such good friends. Poem.
Wow.
I like this because it's one of those long-lasting friendships. But it's not just that, but it's a friendship that walks through life together. It's people that are there at the end that are willing to look to where we, you know, it reminds me of those old men that sit in the barber shop just talking, or in the pub just talking, and they're there every single day, and they go do something, like they sit out on the fishing pier saying, you know, talking about life and talking about different things, and spending time complaining and spending time laughing and different things like that. I mean, here in this little town that I'm in, I will go and sit in McDonald's and I'll see a bunch of older ladies just gathering there, just talking, and they'll do that like every week. They'll just show up there and they'll talk, and they'll be that friend that is there for a lifetime, that it continues on. You know, we have different types of friendship. We have momentary friends. We have, in this case, this is talking about that friendship that remains, that lasts forever, and I think that is such a blessing to have. It is such an amazing feeling to have someone like that is planted in your life and just keeps on going on and on. And I think that is a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I definitely agree with you. I'm, for one, surprised and super impressed because I didn't even know Titus did brevity. And so a Titus brevity, that's new to me, but still very exciting. I was very enthralled with the tone of the poem, because it kind of feels a little bit like a prayer. It sort of vaguely reminds me of my grandmother, like telling me, oh, you know, come, let's go pray. And we reach that section in the prayer where you start to pray for your friends, you know, like, I pray all my good friends have long life and good health and that kind of feeling. It gives me that feeling of, you know, having someone so close to you, caring about them, someone there in your prayers constantly. You know, the forever friends are the ones that you definitely include in your talks with God, I think. You know, those friends that are around a lifetime, they are, like I said, a little bit more like family than friends. You know, they're your, millennials have this phrase we love to use, your chosen family. It gives me that feeling. You know, there's a sort of sense of not only respect for this person, but reverence and admiration and genuine well-wishing. I think that it was a very, very beautiful sentiment, and he brought it across with, as per usual, such class that it was a really wonderfully and gracefully done brevity. But it's Titus, so I should not be very surprised
Wonderful comments. Are you ready to read?
Am I ready to read? Can we do one more and then do me?
Sure, not a problem. Let me see what I've got. I will do Gonzo next, then.
Oh, yeah. Gonzo. Let's see what Gonzo put up for today.
This is called I Wonder. And Gonzo right now is at work. Amazing. He's listening from work, and great to hear that. Here we go.
Anxiety heightens and muscles tighten. Size of the prize makes bright eyes widen. Stud rod concealed to make the deal. Member unsealed, hard as tempered steel. Big dick in the locker room, confidence beaten, left raw with a protection. Knowing all the entries and every little crevice, serving far more than papers for eviction. Let me in, Holmes. No mystery here at all. I saw you climb hot-headed from bed to bed. Elementary, dear. What son sells souls for eight balls? Jackson Pollock, the walls, with the blood of the dead. Festering history of a woman-beating addict. All hindsight regrets, but no facts left out to sleuth. Heralded as God's gift to all females who exist. Stuck his dick in everything. But the truth. Now how's that for a money shot?
Oh, I think this went a little off topic, but hey.
Yeah.
This is inspired by the Wonderland murders, where John Holmes, famous porn star, was a suspect in the whole deal. And it's never been brought to trial or anything like that. But it is an amazing told story. Look at that. There's some things that really made me laugh about this. The big dick in the locker room confidence. That's a real thing, folks. That is a real for guys. And this whole thing is just brilliantly put together. And but like I said, a little off topic, but what do you think about it, Mocha?
Putting aside the fact that it's extremely off topic, I did enjoy it. I mean, I was a little surprised because this is a left turn from where we were going before. But, I mean, Gonzo is always entertaining. You know, I also love the big dick in the locker room confidence line. It cracks me up. I don't know about the Wonderland murders. This honestly feels like just a commentary on men in general for me. Because, a lot of this, I know he's talking about a specific situation, but it can be generally applied to a vast number of men. You know, but it was a great storytelling poem. I love the pun of let me Holmes, no mystery here at all, because it sounds like he said it like, you know, let me in Holmes, like homie. But he does this throughout the poem where he like sort of mixes slang into the poem, into his intonation and like how he reads. And that sort of gives the poem this whole like attitude that I really, really enjoyed, especially when he hit us with the last line, now how's that for a money shot? I love it. I love that Gonzo is with this cynicism and sarcasm every time he does commentary on a situation. You know, he's always like, no hold barred, kind of, I won't hold water in my mouth to say what it is I fully intend to say. And I love that about Gonzo.
There was actually a 2003 movie that was filmed off the Wonderland murders, starring Van Kilmer. So yeah, it's quite an interesting whole thing, you know. And you're right about Gonzo. He brings in all those aspects and tells an amazing story. I put something into his ear earlier today, and I'm hoping that he will write on that particular topic. It should be interesting, to say the least. Are you ready for your poem now?
Yeah, okay, I'm ready to read. Okay, so in honor of one of my best friend's birthday today, it's actually why I thought I should make the topic for the show friendship for today. I'm sharing this specific poem because this person happens to be one of my closest friends who's around and always helps me out of a tight spot, whether it be like emotionally or personally or, you know, just like financially, or just I need something done. Usually that's the friend that I can call that picks up the phone and, you know, and I think everybody definitely deserves to have a friend like that. So, Aziz, this is for you. Happy birthday. And this is titled, Thank God for Friends. Thank God for friends who drag you out of the house when the four walls of your room are screaming at you in haunted voices about all the things you did wrong, who force you into sunlight and onto soft sand, and remind you that the only salt that should run down your cheeks is Oya seawater after they throw you in, who force you to eat when you have no appetite, who force you to laugh when you're on the verge of screaming, who will bring the liquor when you want to drown your sorrow, but stop filling your glass when they see you start to drown in oblivion. Thank God for friends who shit talk to fill the silence, so you don't have time to toot. And for all the friends who sit in silence with you, needing no words for understanding. And poem.
Oh, wow. This is beautiful. This has been everything that we've been talking about, even before you came in, you know. To have those friends that will walk with you through storms, that will see you out to the other side, that when you see yourself as ugly and see yourself as down and see yourself as something there negative, they'll pick you up, they'll continue to see the beauty in you, they will continue to reach inside you. They will connect their souls with you so that you can see how beautiful you are. I think that this is just a stunning, stunning overall overall summary of what friendship should be about, and to be blessed with people like that will reach out to you, that will, you know, drop what they're doing for you, and they will always be there to be that hand that grabs you, that walks you through, that shows you what's going on. They will help you get in positions where you can see
that you can see the problems, you can see the things that are tearing at you, that you that can see those things that that happen in your life that may bring you down, but they always try to carry you through those moments. They'll be the umbrella in your storm. They will be the crutch when you feel like you're hobbling. And they will be that that extra brick that needs to be placed so the walls don't come crumbling down. I think this is beautiful.
Thank you so much, Gary. And I think you definitely got overall tone I was going for. It's really about those people that show up when you need them. And I think that's the best way to judge friends, you know. There are some friends that are only around for hanging out purposes, especially when you're young. There's just friends that, you know, they'll show up and they'll be like, yeah, let's go drink, let's go party, let's go do this. But the second real life hits and you actually need help or you actually need someone by your side, most of them just leave. Because a lot of the friends that you make when you're young, you know, those are frivolous friends. They're like your schoolmates. That's half the time. Half the people you're friends with or your best friends with in school, by the time you graduate and adult life starts getting to you, you know, they just disappear. But there are a few. Probably 1 in 100, every 100 that sticks around. And the people that show up when you say, look, I need this, I think those are your true friends. Or the ones that show up even without you asking, you know, the ones that look at you and pull you aside and say, are you okay? Those people are definitely your friends. Those people are the people you want to keep in your life, or the people who are most likely to stay and actually be a part of your life. And it takes a lot to realize that, you know, you got to go through some shit with some fake friends before you find the real ones. But once you do find the real ones, you gotta hold on to them. You gotta be really grateful for them all the time. Because trust and believe, that is not, like, not everybody has friends like that. It's
no,
sad,
you're right.
It's true.
Yeah.
There are some people that to this day don't have a real friend.
I can count my real friends on one hand. How about that? It's a sad thing to say, but, you know, you're absolutely right. I can't say that I've talked to anybody who I went to school with right now. I can't, because they have all faded away. People that, you know, even the people that I served with in the Army, even the people I went to war with, I don't talk to. There's such a small amount of people that can actually connect with you. You know, it goes deeper than just talking. It goes deeper in, you know, showing concern. There is actually connections in the soul. When you see that, don't let it go. Don't let it fade away.
Agreed.
Because it can be so, you know, it becomes so important to you. And it can become so important to life. And when you have something like that, don't take it for granted. Reciprocate. Give back as much as they're willing to give to you. You know, it's something that we got to look at that. If someone's going to show a love of fellowship, a love of friendship, love them back, because that's their way of not only showing love, that's their way of feeling love.
Agreed, agreed.
All right. Got a couple more to do here. I was waiting to see if Deb was going to show up. I don't know if she was, and so I'm going to save her for last. But are you ready? Are you ready for a little Lawrence 67?
Oh, my gosh. I'm always ready for Lawrence 67.
Yeah, and this is for any all of our foreign friends out there who are not familiar with American football. There is a position called a quarterback, kind of runs the offensive side of the house. And this is called the greatest quarterback of all time. The adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and his homie Alfie in The Dog Did It. Alfie. Hey, Nigel, catch. Nigel trips and smacks into the lamp. Okay, Alfie, go along. Wait, yeah, go along. Down set. 35, 15, hut. I'm open, Nigel, hit me. Nigel unites Montana. Brady, the greatest quarterback ever, eludes six would-be tacklers. Nigel, hit me. I'm open. Nigel Staubach, the artful Dodger, Marino Bradshaw, the greatest quarterback ever, dodges the entire defensive line with four tacklers trying to drag him down. He's the perfect spiral Hail Mary bomb to the nimble-footed wide receiver, Alfie. Crashing sounds, the window breaks. Ralph, the Chihuahua dog cheerleader. The crowd is cheering. The lamp comes crashing down. Window breaks. Mayhem. I got it. More crashing noises. Touchdown. Yeah. Oh, shit. Alfie, look at the living room. Yeah. Who's your daddy? Alfie, doing the end zone dance. Touchdown! Damn, Nigel, here comes Lawrence 67. What the hell happened here? It looks like a tornado went through this living room. Alfie and Nigel look at the dog. The dog did it. Ralph. Ralph. Lawrence 67. Okay, Ralph. Outside you go, and you're not coming back until you learn how to act. Ha, ha, ha. Stupid dog. Give me five, Alfie. Nice. Great throw, Nigel. Ralph, whimpering. Ralph. And poem.
The dog did it. The cats do that all the time, don't they? Blame everything on the damn dog.
They're smart. But yeah, you're right. But, you know, it's like Alfie and Nigel. They're the greatest friendship of all, aren't they?
They are. They're the best. They're like the mascots for friendship.
We need shirts. We need shirts.
Yeah, we need to do like a little drawing of like Nigel and Alfie and put those on t-shirts. For sure. Gotta get Lawrence some merch.
Lawrence merch. Alfie and Nigel merch. That'd be great.
Let's get him to release the comic book first and then we'll do the merch.
And we got it. And Gonzo, we still got that project about doing some voices. So we got to get that done. Hey, Nigel.
Come on, Gonzo.
All right. Now, okay.
We're going to do one more poem, and then we're going to call it a day. I got two from Deborah. Which one do you want, number one or number two, since I don't think she's going to be here on time?
Oh, dang, Deb. I don't know. I genuinely don't know.
Oh, sure, I can do that too. I got my 2022 Maya Angelou coin right here. And heads for number one, tails for number two. This is one of the most popular coins in the women's coin set for 2022 is one of the most popular coin sets in years. So here we go. The coin is flipped, and it lands on number two.
Tails.
Yep. That's what
How do they know?
Tails is Maya Angelou. And believe it or not, that coin has the first mint error that has been identified. It's on the Philadelphia coin. It's a double die reverse where they accidentally doubled up on Maya Angelou's earring. So I think that that is super cool. So this is called, I'll let you read the title. So here's Deb's poem.
Rolling up the doormat, so drop flowers by the tombstone. Wow. Is this what I read?
Yes.
Okay. This is Rolling Up the Doormat, So Drop Flowers by the Tombstone by Deborah Lee. Wipe feet, scuff it or stomp on and tromp on it. Doormat lays to wait. Mud, grass, and sludge covers it. Dust blows by a garden gate. Down on the stoop's top, a butterfly lands and boot grinds her with treads. The laced wings fall, broken pieces scatter. High flyer lays flat with thorax crushed. He is dead. Rain and sleet hits. So do the snow and hail too. People stand to trudge 2 feet, but lifting up the rug and calling back the circling wagon leaves the slogan for mailmen. You killed all of the sweet. End poem.
This is something that I think is addressable when you're talking about friendship, and that's disposable friends. You remember talking about the fake friends as you were talking. This the type of friend who comes in, takes what they want, uses it to what they want, and then turns around and just walks away when they get what they want, which is a sad state of affairs, but it is often the case in French, in quote unquote friendship. And sometimes we got to look at that and see where we are in a situation. Maybe we got a friend who can say, hey, look at what's going on here. I know you did that for me, and I'm forever grateful for you. You're like, hey, take a look at your situation. See what's happening here. And you know what? Take the time that you need to see where you are at. And that allowed me to do that very thing, see where I was at, and pretty much come to a peaceful place in my life, a peaceful moment where I can sit back and actually see what was going on. And I feel right now I'm in a better place for that. I'm in a better place. I've seen what some people were doing, using me for who I was and, you know, taking me for granted and
pretty much using my abilities instead of caring about and being there. You know, I would be there for them, but would they be there for me? And that's the question you got to ask. That's sometimes you got to step out of that situation, look down on it, and see it from a wider perspective. And it's a sad state of affairs, but we go through those situations in life.
Definitely, definitely do. And I can definitely relate to this feeling of sort of being used as a doormat, like every time something is wrong. I've always been one of those friends in friend group that, you know, people come to for advice. Anytime you have like personal problems with anything, anytime people needed to vent, you know, I would be the person that they go to listen. And that's all well and great and everything until you start trying to talk to those people and realize that they don't care to listen to you in the same way, or that they literally only to, like Deb said, wipe their feet on you and get their mud off of their feet and then leave. They just come to sort of dump their shit on you. You know, they sort of assume that just because you're someone's friend should clean up all of your messes or should help you clean up all of your messes. But when that's done, are you going to help them clean up theirs? Are you going to reciprocate that? You know, friendship is not just one way. It needs to be reciprocal. You need to always sit back and ask yourself, am I truly happy with this person? Like, of whether, like, people think that if they're in a romantic relationship with people, you know, like, they only review their relationship if it's romantic with people. But no, you need to do that with platonic relationships as well. You need to do that with friends as well. You always need to have in review or in the back of your mind, am I happy with this person? Do I feel as though I'm heard by this person? Or do I feel as though I'm receiving from this person, whether that be time or affection or just, you know, listening or attention? Am I receiving that? Am I happy with this relationship the way it is? Does it feel equal? Does it feel balanced to me? You should always, you know, making these creations within self and be very mindful of people's words. Sometimes you have friends that, or fake friends that are very charming and manipulative, and they say words and it sounds like they care, but upon further inspection of the words, you know, they don't really. They're just sort of saying that. It sounds like they care. Like, if you've ever had a friend maybe like joking around, and this friend makes, let's say they make fun of something that, you know, they know for a fact they're insecure about or just uncomfortable about, and then they shrug it off when you complain about it, say, oh, don't be so sensitive. Or, you know, don't be this, don't be so that. You might want to take a step back and look at that situation, because someone who is genuinely your friend shouldn't and would not do that to you. Because what they're doing is they're shifting the responsibility and the blame on you while simultaneously not taking any responsibility for their actions. And like illegitimizing your feelings. It's legit. If you, you know, were hurt by something that they said, you know, don't let people convince you that your emotions are not valid. Emotions are always valid. When you have relationships like that and friendships, like, it's really, really important to pay attention to these kind of things. pay attention to the way people treat you, and always tell yourself that you deserve the best. Do not let the little negative voice in your head convince you that this is what friendship should be. It's not. And that's my that's my whole lecture on that for today. But this poem, Deb always hits the nail on the head with her poetry. And the fact that she impassioned me enough after reading this poem to have gone on that whole little rant and that whole little tirade about fake friends should tell you what Deb's poetry does. She really always gets me in the space of, I want to discuss this and I want to talk this, because storyline into something that is basically side imagery or a very simple scene or storytelling, rather, but she is really, really so layered when writes that you can take this poem and you can talk about it forever, and all the emotional levels that she stops on with this poem. I think this was a really, really great poem. A nice way to end the show and sort of remind people, pay attention to your friends, you know, and pay attention to yourself.
Yeah, no, there's saddest thing is they manipulate the words. They say words in certain ways that they can say, well, I actually said this. In essence, they're gaslighting the situation.
Yep. That's precisely what they're doing. And there are so many people that are just so used to this that they won't even notice.
And then you got those good friends that say, hey, wake up, take a look at this, what's happening. And the thing about it is we need to be willing to actually sit back and see it. Because sometimes we just don't want to hear it.
That is agreed. I fully agree. There are really some people that just don't want to hear it.
All right, and I think I am blessed by having a friend like you in my life, and I'm happy for. No, I really am, because like I said, you've helped me see things that I don't think I'd ever open my eyes to, and I think that I'm hoping that you've actually seen a better change in me as well.
Of course. You're so much happier. You're so much more secure in yourself. It's great to see. That alone makes me happy. Like, that's all I wanted, was for you to be able to, you know, stand up on your own 2 feet and be proud of the person that you are. Didn't want anything else, genuinely, as your friend. And you've done that for me as well. So I have to say, thank you for being one of my great friends. You've helped me believe in myself. I would not be writing much as am. I mean, this show would not exist if, you know, I didn't have you in my life. Pushing me and believing in me. It's the moral of friendship, really.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that people can use our example. Because, like I said, none of this, our group, our show, none of it would exist if we weren't willing to, you know, take that time and build on our friendship and make what we have a reality.
Yeah. I'm glad we did this topic today. I feel like there's a lot of love in today.
Yes, I agree. I do agree with that. Okay.
What do you think we should do next week?
I don't know, but we will definitely, I don't know, frenemies? No. We can do the opposite thing.
Oh, we can do enemies?
Enemies, yeah. Or betrayal or something like that.
Yeah.
We can
change
it up whatever
like
we want.
I think Gonzo would be very happy to do something like betrayal next week.
It would be, yeah. There's plenty that we could talk about on that, I'm sure. Oh, and with that, we're going to call it a show. And I'm going to be off to work here pretty soon. And I should get something to eat before work, shouldn't I?
You should. So should I, actually. I've not had breakfast.
All right. It's 2:15 where you're at?
For love, you guys.
Yeah.
Jay and I
love y'all.
Struggle through these shows. We do this for you, though.
Yeah, and we love everybody who listens in, and we so greatly appreciate you guys. You are more than always welcome where we are. You guys are all beautiful. And like I said, I can't say enough about you, Mocha, and everything that you do for this. So let us call it a day with a little bit of scientific.
Thank you.